Let's pray. Father God, we have just sung that you are the servant king. And Lord, you came to us as a baby, a vulnerable baby, in not the best places to be born. But Lord, you came. You came, Lord, to save us. So Lord, may the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditations of all of our hearts as we listen to the visits of the Magi be acceptable unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, Happy New Year to everyone. And this is, it's Epiphany, it's the second Sunday of Christmas. It still is Christmas, hence the candles lit, the trees here, the manger's here, the nativity scene. It's still Christmas. But last Sunday when I was here, we were exploring the account of when Jesus was 12 years old, that time when he was left behind at the temple. And today you may feel, well, the celebrations are all over, surely. But in a way, they're just beginning. Because with the Epiphany, the manifestation of Christ, this is the time in the church year when we celebrate the manifestation by God of himself to the world in Jesus. Jesus is the Epiphany, the manifestation, the sign of God's love. The prophet Isaiah, how I started this service, provides us with a backdrop to help us understand the feast of the Epiphany. So in words from Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Isaiah was proclaiming that God's light and love penetrates the darkest places. The darkest places in our hearts, in our minds. And that the glory of God will appear, will emerge over you. At Christmas, the light is born. At Epiphany, that light is made known to all people. So the reading, verse 1. After Jesus had been born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem from the east. They've travelled a long way. And in this, we're reminded that the Magi represent visitors to Jesus from outside of the Jewish faith. The beginning of something that would cause so much upset and criticism for Jesus, of Jesus, during his earthly life. It received so much condemnation, so much criticism for mixing with those who are not Jewish, mixing with the Gentiles, mixing with the unclean. And here we have the Magi traveling from the east, outside of the Jewish worldview, coming to see and kneel before the baby, the king. Now, understandably, the Magi go to the palace, that of King Herod, a ruler who, a bit dodgy, but a ruler who had, possibly some may see, a good side. He was called Herod the Great, and some may say deservedly so, because he was the only ruler who succeeded in keeping peace and brought order to disorder. He was the builder of the temple. In times of financial hardship, he cancelled taxation to make it easier for his subjects. And in the famine of 25 BC, he even melted down his own gold to buy corn for the starving people. He could be extremely generous, but he had a dark side too. He was insanely jealous and suspicious. So much so, he had members of his own family murdered. His wife, his mother-in-law, his sons. You really would not want to get on the wrong side of him. The Roman emperor at the time said it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. You get the idea of this man. He's ruthless. And now these people turn up asking him, where's the king? Understandably, the understatement of all time is in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Too right, Jerusalem was disturbed. They know what this king is like. So what of these magi? And only Matthew mentions them. These few verses, what we've heard today about the magi coming to, following the star and coming to see Jesus, they've led to so many fascinating stories and hymns, such as We Three Kings of Orient Are. However, nowhere does Matthew mention kings. Neither does he say how many there were. We say three because there were three gifts. There's no indication of where they came from, except the East. Their racial characteristics, their names, and their mode of transport aren't mentioned. But how happy are we to fill in the gaps? But what these travellers knew is what they followed, and that's what we're told. They knew about the stars, and they knew that a new star had appeared. They went searching for the Messiah. Not like the Jewish people who were waiting long for the Messiah to come. The Magi had seen something new, and they knew it was something important, and they had to follow it. The stars in their unvarying course were believed to represent the order of the universe. Therefore, anyone who understood astrology and knew about the stars, they were important. It was said so much so that under which star you were born, it would be considered to be the guide for your destiny. So the stars by some were looked to as really important. The Magi relied on the star to guide their way. I wonder what they thought as they journeyed up to that point of arrival. What did the Magi think they were coming to? They'd brought gifts. They were coming to worship and pay homage. But to what? After all, they'd gone to the palace and asked King Herod, where is the king? The Magi were driven to visit Jesus, and it's obvious in their question of Herod that they did not have all the answers. But they were moved to travel to discover more, and to learn more about Jesus. And on seeing the child in verse 11, they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented their gifts. They bowed down and worshipped. The Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, some of you may have already been, It's acknowledged as the birthplace of Christ. Whether it's the birthplace or not, to get to it, you have to do something that is beautifully symbolic, which is stoop low to enter. And on seeing the Christ child, they knelt down and worshipped. We learn that Herod orders the death of male children in a desperate attempt that he won't be challenged to his throne. Suddenly, the joy of Christmas is replaced by a bloodbath. Because these people came to King Herod and asked, where is the king? He wasn't there. He wasn't in the palace. He was in a stable in Bethlehem. May not have been the best place for a baby to be welcomed into the world, but for that very short time, that window, it offered us a degree of security because the wrath of Herod was to be faced. The family must now take flight and go to Egypt because Herod is furious. He wants no competition. Any threat to his throne has got to be dealt with. Throughout this story, throughout this account, God is meeting people where they are. He's speaking to them powerfully. We've had this from the beginning when Angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, when the angels spoke to the shepherds. God met people where they were, spoke to them. The Magi saw the star, and they brought gifts that would speak loudly in the destiny that the baby Jesus would have in years ahead. What they brought were not gifts fit for a child, fit for a baby. But what they brought were gifts that were so important. And in their encounter with the living God, the Magi offered gifts of value to the one who was to be worshipped. After the Magi had seen Jesus, they recognized him, they worshipped him. They offered him their gifts. And then the plan was then to move on, to journey on. You'd hope taking the experience of that meeting with them, hopefully for the rest of their lives. But something fundamental happens as they sleep. I said earlier that they asked Herod, where is the king? They know little about this man. Herod asked them questions, when did the star first appear? And then asks them, come back to me, because I'd love to go and worship him too. The dream, maybe one of them had, maybe all of them had instructed the Magi to go back a different way. Up to that point of going to sleep, their plan was to return to Herod. Otherwise, why would they need a dream to tell them to do something different? And why would they act on it? Yes, they came to worship the newborn king, but God took the initiative, and he takes the initiative every time, from the star to the dream. God making himself known, and the Magi being willing to change their travel direction. We can learn something from this. Yes, we've come here today to worship God in this place. And so did the Magi. But the Magi intended to go back on their old route, back to Herod. And it was a dream, God making himself known, in this case in dream, and the Magi responding to it, that made the difference. As we journey through our lives, we too can experience that daily encounter with God, that prompting, that still small voice, that urge to do something. Very often it feels, ooh, yeah, but what if you do act on it? Jesus invites us to journey with him, to be challenged by him, to have a change of direction led by him. And like the Magi, we need to see him, recognize him, worship him, offer our gifts to him, so that we in the world may be changed by God, the God who is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.